listening to Wells Tech, episode 614, recorded on Tuesday, November 5th, 2019. Glide. Wells Tech is a weekly podcast exploring the intersections of technology and ministry. It is part of the podcast network sponsored by Wells, the Wisconsin Evangelical Lutheran Synod. Our show today is hosted by Martin Spriggs and Sally Draper. Today on the show, we talk about a very useful and I think approachable little tool that you could use to build your own mobile apps called Glide Apps at glideapps.com. Sally has some experience with it, as well as two folks that we brought on the show to talk about their experiences, two teachers that are going to share how easy it is and how powerful it is to create the Glide app. We have some news and tech about AirPods and Echo Buds and all kinds of things, listening tools that you might be interested in, especially as the holidays are coming up. Picks of the week, Sally returns to her old friend, TechSmith, and I talk about security. Lots of other good stuff on the show. Stay tuned. Welcome back, everybody, to Wells Tech. This is episode 614, and we're recording on Tuesday, November 5th, 2019. Show about technology and ministry. I'm Martin Spriggs, and joining me as usual, Sally Draper. Hey, Sally.
Hi, Martin. Here we are again, and it's November already. Hard to believe. I'm excited for November, actually. I don't know about you, but we've been waiting to join the Milwaukee Makerspace, and tonight is the night. So they have meetings once a week on Tuesday nights, and you have to come to two meetings before they give you the secret handshake and all that stuff. Now, it was interesting. We asked why two meetings, and they said they had a lot of people that would come and get super stoked and join and pay their money and then never come back again. So they make you come twice. But we had Bible study on Tuesday nights for the entire month of October. So we've been waiting for this night. Okay. And here it is.
Awesome. Very excited. So what do you have an idea what you're going to be doing?
I know my husband wants to do stuff with the laser cutters. He's very excited to get access to a laser cutter. Mm-hmm. For me, I am a little intimidated, but I hope to do some things.
Find
I thought
your
screen
way.
Printing sounded interesting.
Yep.
And just try some different things.
Awesome.
Or help him. Whatever.
Cool. Well, before you do that, you have to do a podcast.
Yeah, we're going to make a podcast.
That's right. And we've got things that we're making here, too, on episode 614. This is a topic that we've talked about a little in the past. And it's kind of a cool little app that we've stumbled on over the last year, probably year and a half, maybe 2 years.
Nope. It was this year.
Was it this year?
It
okay.
was.
So it's brand spanking new. Something called Glide Apps, a little way to make a web app that can be installed on your phone. And we've got some experience and some interviews. So maybe we should start. We're just going to devote at least the beginning part of the show here to talk about it because we feel it's could be have a lot of uses, you know, for ministry purposes. But let's start by telling people a little bit more about what it is, Sal. And you by far have the most experience with this of the two of us, for sure.
Yeah, and that speaks to what it is, actually, because it's really easy, or you would have the more experience than me. So what it is a way to create a mobile app or a mobile-friendly web progressive app, whatever, that is driven by a Google spreadsheet. Behind the scenes, you do a Google sheet, you open up Glide Apps and magically connect the two, and it turns the data in the rows and columns of your Google sheet into an app. You can have separate tabs in your Google sheet, and that'll make separate sections of the app. You can control images and things in the app, or even embed audio and video in the app by just putting links in your spreadsheet to those images or audio or video, whatever it may be. And it turns out pretty professional looking, and like I said, it's free. You can pay for higher levels, but the free app gives you the ability to customize the first part of a URL. So, for instance, we'll link to a couple examples that I've been involved with, the EdTech Lead conference that we had this summer, Summit, that we had in June. We used Glide Apps for our mobile app. It's at wellsedtechlead.glideapp.io. And so if you go there, you can browse to it on your computing device, and it looks like a mobile phone, and you can still interact with it the same way you would on the phone. If you go there on your phone, it'll open in your browser and then prompt you to put an icon on your desktop. So that first part of the URL, like I was saying, Wells EdTech Lead, you can control. It starts with kind of a gibberish URL, but you can switch it around. And another example, MNDLTC19 stands for Minnesota District Lutheran Teachers Conference 2019, .glideapp.io. That'll get you to their Glide app. And for free, and for the fact that people are likely only going to use that URL one time, because after that they'll install it on their home screen, I think it's just fine. You can customize the URL, and having .glideapp.io on the end doesn't seem too big of a detriment. But you can pay and get your own custom URL, and you can pay even more and get the app into the App Store and the Google Play Store. So
at its base, it's a progressive web app that is created, which is what the Wells app is a progressive web app. And you can, quote-unquote, install that. You just need internet access to use it, which most people would have these days. And away you go. So are there – what's the learning curve for you as you were kind of building this for the first time? Were there – lots of instructions, help files that you could follow along, videos, or did you have to kind of figure it out yourself?
I would answer yes and yes to that question. So there is a good amount of help, and it's pretty short and sweet because it's pretty straightforward. But I didn't do a lot of referencing of that. I'm more of a push the buttons and see what happens kind of person. And that's a really neat way to learn Glide Apps if you have a spreadsheet that's set up to marry well with Glide Apps. It might be best to learn it just by making that happen and going and changing your spreadsheet and see what happens in Glide App, or changing your Glide App settings and see how it displays differently. That's pretty much how I figured things out. And then I would just reference the help where needed, you know, when I got stuck or whatever. There are lots of possibilities. So if you're like my mom, I always think of her when she back in the day, the big thing was making greeting cards and printing them on your printer. And she'd open up her greeting card software. Maybe it was from Hallmark or whatever. And there were so many options. She would spend hours making one card. So you could do that with Glide Apps because there are a lot of options. And you can control, like, the main screens. And then you can drill down to see what it looks like on the lower level screens and control those and add and change and, you know, do different layouts and all kinds of things. So you could spend a lot of time on it, or you could start with a sample spreadsheet and kind of go from there. The cool thing about the EdTech Lead one is that spreadsheet's out there available publicly, so you can make a copy and use that as your sample spreadsheet. So the things that I learned, such as it was by my methodology, you could take advantage of right away by just incorporating my spreadsheet and maybe changing it. And actually, if you look at the Minnesota District Teachers Conference app, it looks a lot like the EdTech Lead app because it is, you know, it started as a copy. But there are different things in there as well where they had different needs and structured it differently in places.
Right. So are there ways to build something without it being public, kind of behind the scenes, or what approaches can you take?
Is there a publish button? I haven't tried that specifically, but there is the ability to authenticate people, or maybe authorize people. I don't know the right terminology there, but have people sign in using some kind of a you know, list that you have available to the app somewhere. So you can privatize it with sign-in access. And there's lots more to it. Data entry, for one. So you can almost set it up like a form where you're gathering data in your spreadsheet, you know, and use that data behind the scenes that goes into the spreadsheet from people entering it through the app. There's lots of advanced logic you can take advantage of. Just recently, they announced relating things. So the example I saw in some of the help resources was if you had a list of staff members, and there was a hierarchy to that. So one was a manager of some of the others in the list, but they're all in the list. You could build those relationships. So if Martin is my boss and I looked at Martin's page in the app, it would show reports to Martin and I would be listed there. And when you click me, it would go to my page mm-hmm. in the app and that kind of thing. And if I had reports under me, it would go to that. You know?
Okay.
So there's that relational component. And there's a whole lot more. Like I can't. I've just barely scratched the surface.
Sure. So this is fairly new, I'm assuming.
You know, I thought that was true, but in our interview today, we talked with Carl Hochmuth, and he talked about using it a few years ago. So mm-hmm. I guess it's been out for a while. I personally heard about it early this year. I was going to a conference, a personal conference that I was attending, and they were making use of it. And they sent out the app maybe a week before the conference. And that afternoon, I had created the EdTech League okay. beginning because I was just like, this is exactly what we need. And I was so excited about it and stuff. Right. So,
well, what's neat about it, it's sitting on top of Google technologies, using mm-hmm. technologies that we already know, and then some of the tooling that and plugins and those kinds of things that you can use with, let's say, Google Sheets all apply.
Exactly. So, yeah, there's that whole other facet of things coming into Google Sheets, things going out of Google Sheets, automation, for instance, if this, then that. You
sure.
can write little recipes that say, if there's a new row in my Google Sheet, you know, do such and such or whatever. Or if a new photo gets added to the database library, add a row in my Google Sheet. Mm-hmm. You know, you can do it kind of both ways. Again, in our interview, you're going to hear about a way that Jonathan Witte's using an add-on, I think they're called, with Google Sheets called Autocrat, which will send email after new things are added to mm-hmm. A Google Sheet. So
it's
kind of incorporate.
Ecosystem,
like
right?
a workflow, exactly.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So
very powerful.
Can be expanded. Very good. Mm-hmm. All right. Well, you mentioned the interview a couple of times. Why don't we go ahead and listen in on the interview with John Witte and Carl Hochmuth. Joining us today, we're really happy to have a couple of Wells teachers, a Wiley veteran, and somebody just 2 years into their ministry, Carl Hochmuth from Luther Prep and Jonathan Witte from Luther High School in Onalaska. I'll let our listeners decide who's who. Welcome, you guys.
That's fine. Thank you.
Thanks for joining us. I'll let you guys introduce yourselves. Carl, you want to go first?
Sure. As you mentioned, I'm here at Luther Prep School, serving now as the Educational Technology Coordinator. And before that, and many moons ago, I was down in Texas teaching elementary school and started off in Omaha. So happy to be here and happy to be serving.
Great. Thanks for joining us. John, how about you?
Hey, yeah. I teach at Luther High School. I'm the band director here, actually. And like you said, this is my second year in the ministry and absolutely loving it here at Luther.
Thank you for joining us as well. The topic that is the kind of the subject matter of our show is a little tool that both of you have some experience with. So we want to kind of get your perspectives on something called the Glide app. Tell us a little bit about how you are implementing and using that.
Well, I'll begin.
Sure, go ahead, Carl. Yeah.
And just say that it was about 2 years ago, I think, when the Glide app was, you know, I was just browsing through and all of a sudden I saw the Glide app, you know, something in an email or something. And I said, oh, this looks interesting, that you can create your own app from a Google Sheet. And okay, I'll give it a try. And at the time, we were in the middle of our musical practice, and since I worked backstage and stage set changes and so on, I always used to have a spreadsheet that I set out for each scene, listing who did what, when, and what the scene was supposed to look like, and I would paste these on the wall, and the kids would have to go up and look at the wall to see what was next, and I thought, well, this will work. And so I just took the spreadsheet, changed it into this little app, and next thing I knew, I gave it to the kids, and they said, hey, this works great. We like this better than looking at the wall. So I thought that was my introduction to using the Glide. So
that's awesome. Nice.
Yeah, what about you, John?
Yeah, so at Luther, I created an app for a band program, specifically my middle school band program. I have a lot of lessons that I teach, and at each one of these lessons, I have to keep track of assignments that kids are doing, how many minutes they practice that week, whether or not their parents saw them practice, how many points they get for doing various things. It's just a lot of data. So I said, I'm not doing that on paper anymore. There's got to be a better way. And I actually saw your presentation at Conference Sally, and I went into Glide Apps and created a Google Sheet that acts more as an input for me. So I have a form in the app that I submit all that information I just talked about, whether or not a student practiced or not, how many minutes they practiced. And that all goes into that Google spreadsheet, so I can easily see it in one spot. But then I wanted to get more buy-in from my parents also. So within that same Google Sheet, I run an add-on called Autocrat, which then takes all the student data and puts it into an easy-to-read lesson report that gets auto-formulated and sent out to the parents each week, right after the student's lesson. And then all their data is easily seen on my phone in the app, which is great, and I can show the kids how they're doing and easily call parents because each of the kids has their own profile in the app. It's been really great.
Super cool, very different uses.
A mashup of a bunch of different technologies going on there.
Yeah. I dove in real hard.
and it sounds like you're the only user of the app. You use it for data input.
Yeah, and I also have three kind of adjunct teachers who teach for us at Luther.
Nice.
So those teachers are using the same app, and that way, even if I'm not seeing all the band students, I can see exactly how they're doing because those teachers' information comes right back to the same app in the same database. So I can pull up exactly what they're doing at various schools.
Excellent.
So we don't have as many users of our app, but it's been incredibly useful to us.
Very good. Carl, you had a couple of other uses or other apps you've developed, separate apps besides the theater?
Right. That's where I started. And then I used it a little bit, and then I saw your presentation. At least I watched the webinar on yours, and I said, oh, yeah, I remember that app. It can do. And then I saw what you did, and I said, oh, it can do more. And so I thought, well, I developed an app for the school, and with the idea that our website is not all that user-friendly on a mobile device. And so I thought there's got to be something easier. And so I started looking into it and looking at the different modules that they had, and I started putting together my Luther Prep app. And with that, you know, I basically said, you know, one of the things I wanted to do is have the news up front for parents. And we have daily announcements that we have, and about 5 years ago, I think we decided we were no longer going to read daily announcements after chapel because that would take 5 minutes. So we just put it into the Google Blogger, and this app allows me to link directly to it, and it opens up on your phone, and the kids can see exactly, and parents, exactly what the daily announcements are each day. Then I have another link to the campus news, which comes right off the website. Again, a link to the website, and I had to format a page on the website that would make it the size of a mobile device, so that the little news article would be right in there, the current news. And then I have links to other website items like the photos that are there that are easy to find, upcoming events, you know, on the, from the calendar, a link to our morning chapel live stream, a link to the weekly e-news archive, and then sports scores that are in there also. Then the thing that I saw, Sally, that you did this summer with the conference, you had a whole listing of events and where and when and what. I said, hey, that would be great, because then I put that in as a registration and orientation weekend tab or link, so that that popped up on the phone so as parents, you know, they know where to go, what's happening, what time, what room it's in, etc. So I added that, and then when homecoming came, I swapped those two out and put in the homecoming activities for the week that were all listed that, you know, people could very simply see and look at.
Yeah, that was one of the things I really liked about it was all throughout the conference I was adding and deleting things, and just immediately it propagates down to everybody that's looking at the app. Really easy to do.
Yeah. And, you know, then they added, you know, just lately they add, you know, the idea of adding pictures, and you can input pictures. So I have a different app that I take pictures with, because I haven't figured out yet how I can have access to add things by myself without having others add things, without having everybody sign in. I had decided I did not want people signing in this first time around, because I didn't want to burden people with having to remember another login and another user word or, you know, password or whatever it is. So I just placed that all there. So I created another app that does the pictures, but I found out you can have two apps reading into the same spreadsheet, which is kind of cool.
Ooh, I didn't know that. That's cool.
So you can have one, and it puts the pictures into the spreadsheet, and the other one pulls it out of the spreadsheet and displays it then on the app that's distributed to everybody.
Very slick. Yeah, the more you play with it, the more you're like, wow, and it can do this too.
It's pretty fun. It's powerful. It's powerful.
So I'm curious about how well it's been received. John, you talked a little bit about sharing it among teachers. Are they enjoying the app? Is it working well for everyone? Did they have any learning problems with it?
Sure. So it was a big change from how we had tracked data in the past. So at first it was kind of like, oh, how is this going to work? But I think they're really liking it now, because they have to do less addition. The app does all the adding of everything and such, and it's easy to see everything. So my teachers have really liked it. And from like my administrator standpoint, too, it's been great because I can see what they're doing in lessons. And also, so I soon taught at Kettle and worked with the band people there. And we had kind of talked about an app similar to what I made finally, and that we wanted an app. So I shared it with them, and they actually made their own Kettle Moraine version of the app, and they're using it in their band program and really love it too, because they have multiple teachers using it and such. So we're actually hoping to get it out to many band directors to help out with all this data tracking and information and all sorts of things.
Carl, from your perspective, students adopting it, using it, finding it easy to use?
It's hard to tell because, you know, they got most of the information on their Chromebooks as they're walking around. So do they use it as much? You know, their phones are restricted during the day, you know, since they got to turn them in for each class. But some do use it. I'm not sure. That's one thing with the free app. You don't really know who and how many. I do know I had 186 users in the last 30 days or something like that.
Okay.
So I'm not sure what that means, if we got parents looking at it or, you know, I had to sign up. I have not done a follow-up yet to see if somebody, you know, that's one thing I wanted to do is a follow-up. Are you using it? And if so, how do you like it? Any recommendations? What else would you like to see? That sort of thing. And then get some feedback to continue from that point on. I guess another app that I did create, which I was the one for our chapel services each morning, that it has a list of who's preaching, what's the text, and then the preacher has to select the hymn, and they can input the hymn into this app, which then shows up on the sheet, which then the piano and the organists can see what's being played. And then I also linked it to the slides that I produce every day for our live stream. So they can see how the slides look as you know, this is what it's going to look like on our end when we're getting ready to present this on live stream, so you know what the order of service is looking like. So, you know, the preacher can add his, you know, can input his own hymns, and he can, you know, if he needs to tweak the text, he can do that. So that's all there, and I know a couple of them say, yeah, wait, look at it because it's on our phone, and I don't have to be at my computer to see what hymns I have and do that sort of thing. I did find a way in my sheet to make sure that I had the whole calendar for the whole semester, but I found a way by adding a column that with check boxes that if it's checked, then that row will not show up in the app, so it only shows the most current. So as we're going through, you don't have to scroll all the way through to find your, and you can do a search, which means you can search for your name, and it'll show you all the times you have to preach, and you got that pops up right away too. So
excellent. Wow. Looks like you guys have both been really creative. From an administrator's perspective, was there a difficult learning curve? And then what's it like for ongoing maintenance and stuff?
On my end, personally, I didn't really know anything about Google Sheets or Excel or using formulas or any of that. So I learned from the ground up how to do that, which was interesting. So it took me about a week to get the app fully up and running. But since then, it's just been plug and play. I haven't really had to maintain anything, which has been great. I learned a lot along the way of how to get Google Sheets to talk to itself and pull information from other things and VLOOKUP and all that, which helps out the app then.
Ooh, a VLOOKUP user. My heart is pounding.
Yeah. Oh, when I figured that out, oh man, I actually yelled in the coffee shop I was with me, and it was great.
Thank you, buddy. I got it.
Yeah.
What about you, Carl?
I've always loved Google Sheets. I've been working with them for a long time, trying to get them to do more than they probably were meant to do. I mean, we've got, I've got forms. Everybody comes to me, here's my form. How do I get the information out of it? And then I take the Google Sheet and I replicate, import the range into another sheet and alphabetize it and then create all sorts of tabs so that they can get just the, sorted tabs and stuff like that. So the back end of it was fine. Getting the app to look and do what I wanted was more trial and error. I've watched a lot of their videos.
Yeah, their videos are so good.
And Sally, last year when you had your thing, I had to look into that and pull it apart and then try to figure out how to get the text to be bold and, mm-hmm. and bulleted and all that stuff. Yeah, all that sort of stuff. And to get it to look right. And I think it's like once a week I get this, or it's every 2 weeks, David from Glide with new things.
I get that too. Yeah. He's so helpful.
Good stuff.
And so, this week I had some new stuff, and I thought, oh, man, he's got his database things, and he's got the, So I'm thinking, okay, now what can I do that's different from what I had before? And so it's always tweaking it and doing more of what I had. The fact that he's added the hamburger menu up in the upper corner of the app now, so you can have more tabs show and drop down menus from there. It's nice because my bottom tab sheet got full.
Yeah. So. Definitely.
So what is next? Do you guys have any plans for new apps or new features? You mentioned looking at some of the new features, but other applications for this?
That's the thing is when something comes out and he says, when I get David from Glide, he says, hey, here's something new you can do. Then I start looking, how could I use this or do this or the one-to-many relationship or the one-to-one? And then you start saying, okay, now I can make this more efficient. So there may be more things coming, but it's just talking to people and saying, okay, what would you like and what do you see? So,
Sure. I've looked into the account-based side of the app and how can I get my individual teachers to log into their app and maybe they can only input information for their students. They don't have to scroll through so many students.
That is possible.
Yeah. So I want to do that. And I would eventually love it that each family could download the same app and they wouldn't have the same abilities that a teacher would have, but they could see all of their student data in one place, because right now all of that is emailed to them through that Autocrat add-on. So they're not really using the app in that way. So I'd love to be able to say, here's the band program app, everything's on it. And then I'd love to expand it to the high school too, and use it there. Right now it's really aimed at middle school. So I have to kind of tweak things and figure out exactly what I want to do. Eventually, I would absolutely love to actually have the app developed in some way and get it in an app store, because I think it would be really useful to a lot of band directors. And so whether or not that's through Glide and using their paid subscription to do that, or actually working with some developer to do that, I'm not sure yet. But I'd like to keep going with it.
Okay, so I hope you guys like being interviewed by Wells Tech, because we will be circling back.
Sounds how you're doing. Right.
Well, that's great. Yeah, one of the things I'm waiting for is to see if there'd be a way in this app that I could send out notifications to people who have the app.
I don't think that's there yet. Yeah,
I know that I can get notifications coming my way. If I put comments, I can set it up so that all of a sudden I will get a notification in my from my app that somebody commented on a picture or something.
Yeah.
So it comes one way, but I'd like it to go the other way too.
Yeah.
So that's
maybe you could kind of fake doing that with what I'm doing with the automatic emails and send them an email instead of a notification. I don't know.
Yeah. So.
Well, you guys don't be surprised if you get some Wells Tech listeners, knocking on your door for advice, because I think there's definitely application across the Synod in lots of different areas too. So,
Really
appreciate you taking the time with us today. You guys have both put in a full day of teaching, I'm sure, and you decided that you could spend 20 minutes more with us. So, we really appreciate that. Blessings on your ministry and your work, and thanks for joining us.
Thank you very much for having us on.
Yeah, thanks, guys.
Our thanks to both John and Carl, who are mid-school year, so it's not always easy to get those teacher types, in the podcast, but they were willing to do that. And boy, they've kicked the tires a few times on this app, right?
I would say my heart rate went up a few times. I was excited to hear all the ways they were using it. I love the idea of the scene changes for the musical, what a cool way. If you're storing things in a spreadsheet already and everybody has their phone on them, it's a lot easier to interact with the app than it is that Google Sheets UI in a mobile device that's a little bit more difficult and hard to see the big picture. Carl shared the link with us to the Luther Prep app, so we'll be including that link in the show notes as well, so you can see that example of, and it looks way different than the EdTech Lead app. It's just got a different styling to it, different layouts he chose and things, so there is definitely a lot of variety that you can incorporate into the app.
Sure. Okay. Well, our thanks again to both of them, and we'll, I'm sure, circle back with them at some point to find out what new and exciting things they've added to their existing apps, or kind of the fun part is different reasons to have other apps.
Right,
Two is better than one, and three is better than two. So.
Yeah. I even have a llama app to my credit.
Is that right?
Yeah.
What does your llama app do? What were the requirements for your llama app?
To look adorable, like llamas, of course. It plays videos. It has all kinds of cool stuff. Lots of pictures of llamas. Imagine that.
Uh-huh. I think is it a private app or can you share it?
No, I could actually share that.
Okay.
Wouldn't that be
special?
We're
looking forward to that. All right, let's move on to news in tech. It's all about earbuds this week. We heard from Apple. They launched version 3 of their AirPods. This happens to be the Pro model. They call it the AirPods Pro. I'm not sure the plural nature of their naming convention, AirPod Pro versus AirPods Pro. I guess because there's one in each ear, they're AirPods Pro. Just sounds weird. But anyway, for a sum of $250-ish.
Bargain.
You can have these. I have AirPods myself, the first version, which I'm happy with. I think they work really well. Many of you have probably seen these sticking out of people's ears. They're usually white. In fact, they're always white unless they've kind of modded them in some way, shape, or form. But they're basically wireless, Bluetooth-enabled earbuds. But these are a little bit different because they actually have a little silicone insert that now goes into your ear. And they have noise canceling, which is kind of a big deal because the other ones let a lot of noise and whatever seep in, which was for some good if you're running with it or whatever you want to know, you want to hear your surroundings.
The train coming,
exactly. This you can turn that on and off. There's a couple of different variations of that, and reviews have been really positive so far. They're a little bit small, a little bit shorter. The stick that kind of juts down out of your ear is a little bit shorter, squattier.
And that has a microphone on it,
that
right?
That has a microphone, right, so you can make phone calls. Reviews are, for those, a lot of people couldn't wear AirPods because they didn't fit their ear correctly.
That's
they would fall out or whatever.
Yep.
Or hurt.
These, at least from early reviews, tend to be a little bit better, stick in, the seal's a little bit better. So Apple's hoping these are a hit, I'm sure, for the holidays. But you will pay the price, the Apple tax, so to speak, to have these in your ears or the ears of your loved ones.
But there are options.
There are other options,
which
I'm a little more excited about,
good
too.
Good reviews.
Yep, go ahead.
Well, I don't know nearly as much as you do,
oh,
but I know
it's on anything about it.
Husband's wish list that Amazon has announced their Echo Buds. I think maybe we talked about that just last week or so.
Yeah, these are about half the price from Amazon, and they're getting good reviews, too. They have kind of this passive noise canceling technology, which is getting great reviews as well. They're, of course, have Alexa built in instead of Siri, so that's probably a win for some folks who have trouble talking to Siri. They can talk to Alexa.
I heard the Bose name was associated.
That's right. I think are co-branded or co-developed by Bose, so the sound seems to be good and at a lot cheaper price. And I think they come in maybe a couple colors.
I'm pretty sure I saw black. So
okay,
don't want the
so
white
it's not
things.
Just white,
yeah.
Right? So lots of choices if you're into earbuds, and I think a lot of people are looking at these as maybe a lightweight kind of cool way to listen to podcasts.
Yeah.
Maybe some people are listening to us right now on either of these. Maybe who knows?
I think people are watching TV on their phones these
they
days.
Are doing
you
that
know,
too,
and so
right?
Just not being tethered all the time is a big deal. I'll tell you a funny story. I read or saw photos of, actually, was something about the Amazon executive announcing these in a news conference or something, and he had Apple AirPods in his ear while he was doing this announcement about the Amazon Echo Buds. Kind of the irony of the situation.
That's right.
But anyway.
So that's the news for the week. Let us know if you have either of these. We'd love a review from real Wells Tech listeners. So let's move on to Wells Now.
As opposed to like virtual Wells Tech
listeners. Right, that's
or something.
True.
Hmm. Okay, Wells Now. We are going to talk about the C19 initiative. And those that have listened over time know that there's been C18 and C17 to precede that. Basically, that's our Christmas outreach marketing type materials that are made available for congregations and schools to use. And they have been published. They're out there on the WellsCongregationalServices.net website. We'll include a link in the show notes. And it's a synod-wide initiative to encourage and equip Wells congregations to invite the unchurched to worship this Christmas. So they've organized things with getting started, promotional materials, evangelism resources, LES and Sunday school resources, worship resources, and special ministry resources. So pretty much covered all aspects of worship around Christmas season. The planning and timeline is out there, and it actually got started a few months ago. So if you're just now hearing this, now is the time to really go out and grab these resources, because they were hoping you started to think about this already in September, and probably some things you need to backtrack and make sure you're on track to complete in time for Christmas to make use of the things that are available. But
yep. Nice,
quality materials.
Nice resources, absolutely. Mm-hmm. Tips or picks of the week, Sally?
And this one comes to you courtesy of our friends at TechSmith, one of the companies that I have our hold in high regard because they do some really nice software.
Products, yep.
And just a week or so ago, they introduced Snagit 2020, so an upgrade to their Snagit software. Now, at its base, Snagit started as something that you could use for screen capture and some annotations. So push your print screen button, and instead of doing the default print screen that's built in on your computer, the Snagit software comes to life and allows you to select a section of your screen and capture it as an image and then draw circles or write some text on it or put an arrow, especially useful if you're trying to instruct someone. Something like that. So that's how it started.
Picture is worth a thousand words.
Yeah, many years ago. And over the years, TechSmith has just refined the software and made it more and more robust. And now, even though it's really an image-based software, they're moving more and more towards video with the Snagit tool set. And so short videos can be created with Snagit. And in this version, they introduced the fact that you can select images to turn into a video. So you don't even have to have video content to use the Snagit video tools.
What do you mean
tools.
Images to turn into a video?
So if you have a series of screenshots, flat, you know, images, pings, JPEGs, GIFs, whatever format, you can select a group of them and it'll, turn them into
the
a video.
And you can
exactly.
Space them out.
It doesn't have as robust of a features of video editing with it, but what's cool about it as well is that it'll allow you to save it as an animated GIF, which is pretty powerful because of communication these days. Often electronic communication, GIFs are considered images, and images are
embeddable. Right, you can embed those in Word docs or lots
emails,
of different things, right?
Whatever. Mm-hmm. And they'll do their video playback, basically,
sure.
but as if they're an image. Mm-hmm. And that's in contrast to video, where you can include a link to it, but they got to go open it and run it on another
heavier,
player.
You know, more.
Right.
More.
Lots more
megabytes,
size, file size, and everything. Mm-hmm. So I think your animated GIFs need to be like under a minute, I believe. I'd have to look at the Snagit documentation. That's pretty powerful. They also include templates, so you can apply kind of the same styles across images that you're working with, and a lot more features in 2020. I was just really excited. Had to go create an animated GIF myself and give it the try. So check out Snagit 2020. If you have Snagit 2019, you can get it kind of two ways. If you're in their maintenance plan, it comes for free to you.
Yep.
If you just have the standalone software, the upgrade is $24.95. They may have pricing that reduces that for nonprofits. If you're buying it for the first time, the price normally is $49.95, but for nonprofits, it's $42.95.
They have educators, I'm assuming, following there. Right,
exactly.
Okay.
And so not a huge price for admission. I use Snagit as my major image editor. I really have never been a Photoshop girl or anything like that. I can do pretty much anything I need to with Snagit, and pretty straightforward and easy to fun to use.
Big fan. Nice. Mm-hmm. All righty. My pick of the week is security related, and I think I've had this as a pick of the week in the past, but it came to my attention because it is now the number one pick on Wirecutter. Wirecutter is a site from the New York Times now, it used to be independent, that does a lot of ratings of all kinds of different things. We bought our dishwasher because Wirecutter said we should. But they rated two-factor authentication apps, and they said the best two-factor authentication app as of October 25th, 2019 is Authy, which happens to be the one that I use. I've tried a bunch of these. LastPass has a two-factor authentication app. Google, Microsoft now does. There's a bunch of other ones. And basically, what these apps do is they live on your mobile device. They could live on, I suppose, a tablet as well. But when you reach a site that has two-factor authentication capabilities, like Facebook or Google or Microsoft or Twitter, where you turn that on, Amazon, not only do you have to enter your password on the screen, on the website, but you have to actually give it a code that this app produces. So thus the two-factor. So somebody to break into your account would both have to have access to your password, which they could enter from any computer, but they'd also have to have your phone too with this app, because the app only lives on the phone. There's not really a web version, although with Authy there is if you'd like one. That's one of the things I actually like about Authy. Some of these other two-factor authentication apps only let you install it on one device, and that can be a problem depending on what kind of devices you use, or if you don't always have a device with you. So the fact that you can have this in a browser makes that a little bit more portable as well. Now, they do have some security around that, because you have a password for your two-factor app as well, which encrypts it. So you're covered there as well. But Authy works just like Google Authenticator. In fact, when you see if you have LastPass or whatever, it lets you pick your two-factor. If you don't pick LastPass, you can pick Google Authenticator. It doesn't even list Authy, but if you pick Google Authenticator, you can use Authy in its place. So it's kind of a substitute for it. It works exactly the same way, where you scan a little barcode or a QR code, and then it gets into your app. And then you have about 30 seconds to enter the code in, and then it regenerates a new code all the time. So Authy is totally free.
really easy to install. You can install it on your iPad, your iPhone, your Android phone, your whatever. And it's super portable. And it's much less of a pain, I think, to use than some of the other apps. And it really just does one job, and that's just provide that little code that you need to plug in when the application itself asks. Normally, these applications are going to ask fairly infrequently. They'll give you like a 30-day window, because you can click a box and say, hey, don't ask me again for 30 days. This site's okay. That's kind of how they all work. But it's a very good idea to have something. And if that something, if you're wondering what that something should be for two-factor authentication, I would highly recommend Authy. That's Authy. And we'll put a link to that Wirecutter review as to why they think it's the best two-factor authentication app out there as well in the show notes.
Excellent. So I have dumb questions to ask.
Okay.
To make sure I understand.
No such thing.
So I use the LastPass two-factor authentication, yep. But that just gets me into LastPass. And if I need to get into my Amazon sends me a code or texts me a code.
They
or if
can
I need
text
to...
you. That's different.
Okay.
They can that is two-factor, but not as secure because somebody could hijack that as that SMS as well. It's more possible. So the app LastPass can be used for Amazon, for Twitter. It can be used as the two-factor whatever for
okay.
them as well.
Okay.
So LastPass is not just for LastPass. It's LastPass is just like Authy or Google Authenticator or Microsoft Authenticator,
expanding my
whatever.
Brain.
Yep.
Okay. And then one more question.
Yep.
In the LastPass app, actually two more questions, sorry. The LastPass app, I don't have to put a code in. I can like push a button that says, yes, this is me.
Yep.
Which is nicer than having
to remember
six digits.
For LastPass, it'll do that.
Okay.
It won't necessarily do that for Amazon
Ever
or whatever.
One.
What
okay.
Authy does, and I think LastPass does too, is if you tap the app, it'll actually copy the code to your clipboard.
Oh,
and then
nice.
You just go back to Amazon where it's asking for that six-digit code or whatever, and you just paste it in. So
okay.
you don't have to stretch your brain to remember those six digits.
Very good.
So.
And obviously you're using Authy, so you're covered with the web access.
Mm-hmm.
But what happens if I lose my phone and I'm dependent on just the phone access for these
just the
two factors?
Access.
You know, like I don't have the phone to get the two factor.
Right. They most of these two factor schemes work that if you've lost that device, you can go back to the some
okay.
kind of alternate SMS or phone call. But if you've lost your phone,
you're
yeah,
in
that's
trouble.
Not a bad. That's not a good thing, right?
Right. Don't lose your phone.
Because that's that other thing that you need to
exactly.
get in. So,
okay.
All of them have some way or ultimately around that, but they all require different kind of verifications, and it's just not something you want to do. So,
that's it for Martin's two-factor 101.
Don't lose your phone,
today.
Right?
Good
all right.
Thank
Let's
you.
Go on to ministry resources.
Yeah, our ministry resource actually ties to our topic of the day in a way, and that is the Gospel Outreach with Media Conference. It's an online conference. It's happening now through November 11th. And this is a conference where you can go and read resources that are provided and join in an online discussion. So there's mm-hmm. Commenting and replying ongoing with the different topics that are provided. This is through the Christ in Media Institute, which is part of Bethany Lutheran College, and is coordinated by Tom and Judy Custer, who are friends of Wells Tech, and
mm-hmm.
we always appreciate their insights and all the things that they're involved with Christ in Media. So the reason it ties to our discussion topic is I happen to have one of the many presentations, I guess you could call it, that are part of this year's Gospel Outreach with Media. Mine is called I Built an App, and You Can Too. And it's a brief discussion on the things we talked about Glide App, with a little overview video and link to the different resources that are out there. So certainly you can go there and learn more about Glide App. Covers a lot of the things we covered here already. But what's more exciting is that you can learn about all kinds of other topics around outreach with media, which is a technology focus. And so they have things on the message, gospel media outreach around the world, innovative applications of technology for the gospel, wrangling the technology and making it work for the Lord, in publication and in the arts and general comments. So a wide variety of topics represented from people literally all over the world. I was excited to see missionary wife friend there, Nancy Rebke, who's in Lilongwe, Malawi, Africa, and she has one titled Joyfully Loving Your Neighbor as Your Selfie, Being Quick and Slow with WhatsApp. So she's specifically focusing on WhatsApp, which is huge in Africa. But that's just one of the many topics that are there. So check it out. The conference will remain online, archived online indefinitely, but it's really great to be part of the conversation that's there. So that goes on through next Monday, November 11th.
Yeah. Looks like you're having some interesting discussions with Bethany and MLC students.
Yeah. Right? I'd love it for one of them to post a link to their app.
That'd
love
be
it for
awesome,
any of our
right?
listeners to share a link if they're using Glide app to let us see more options with
exactly.
Glide app.
All right. I think it's that time where we hear from you all in community feedback.
You all, that's a good word.
Probably fitting for this first one, too, a Southerner.
Yeah, Principal Jim Hendrickson from Calvary in Dallas, who probably wasn't a Southerner
he's
by
not
birth.
Original
okay,
of
but
that,
he's been there a long time.
Right.
I know that.
Yeah.
And he actually wrote to me looking for some ideas around using Salesforce, which is an online database tool, very powerful and very popular. He says, we've begun actively using Salesforce at Calvary to assist with tracking admission prospects, community contacts, etc. We'd like to greatly expand our use of Salesforce and are wondering if you know of congregations that are currently using Salesforce and or consultants who might be able to assist us in meeting our objectives with Salesforce. So, great question for our community. My limited knowledge goes back to Wells Tech Conference 2015 when we saw a presentation about how Grace in downtown Milwaukee is using Salesforce. So I sent him a link to that video, and perhaps maybe he made contact with someone there if they are still using it. I'm not really sure if they are or not. But I bet that people listening to this podcast are making use of it, and we'd love to hear how. And certainly if you want to contact Jim at Calvary, we can get you his contact information, things like that.
Yep. Good. Thanks for contacting us, Jim.
Also want to make mention of the ever-popular Wells Intersections Facebook group, where there's always interesting discussion, spearheaded by Pastor James Aderman. And a couple things to note there, an article about Amazon Creative Suite training videos on Amazon Prime. Actually, it's probably not an article. It was just a discussion note that your Amazon Prime account has some training resources associated with it. So if you're paying for Prime and you get Prime video along with
that.
The package...
Huh.
There's a whole series right now that someone found about Amazon Creative Suite. So great place to look for some
Adobe
training.
Creative Suite.
Sorry, that's the word.
Yep.
Adobe. And then an interesting infographic that I saw, how long does your content last? And Philip Wells actually shared the image. It's an image that kind of goes down or increases in the length of time your content lasts. And it starts with Twitter. And it says if you post something on Twitter, it lasts a total of 18 minutes. That, you know, people are looking for frequent updates there. It's short and it's very fast and it moves on. Facebook, in contrast, lasts a whopping 5 hours. So even there, you maybe need to post three times a day or something if you want to keep in front of people all the time. Next up was Instagram, lasting 21 hours. So a little bit longer play there. Maybe posting once a day keeps your content fresh. And then from there, it lists LinkedIn at 24 hours, YouTube at 20 plus days, Pinterest at 4 months, and then finally a blog post, I believe, at 2 years. So some of your content can really have a long play life, but you know, being more strategic around this, and there's an article I'll link to that kind of talks you through how they got these values and what they may mean.
Yeah, that's interesting. I'd like to explore that a little bit further about the science. I'm assuming that some of it has to do with the number of people that you follow, because mm-hmm. that's going to cycle your content mm-hmm. faster, of course, the more people that you follow.
And true.
For my purposes, I follow many more people on Twitter than I do on Facebook, and many more people on Facebook than I do on Instagram, so it makes mm-hmm. sense. And then Pinterest, you'd be up there for a long, long time.
Really? Gosh. My Pinterest feed is
always
fresh.
A very select yeah. group that I follow on Pinterest.
And you check it all the time.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So.
Okay. Anyway, it caught
my eye. In fact,
I
check it so often that every time I look at it, it probably feel new to me.
Yeah. Trying to figure that side
so
out
I
again.
So I probably sway the stats a little bit.
Yeah.
But
definitely.
That's funny. All right. Video of the week, Sally. I can almost predict what this one's going to be.
We're going to glide out today mm-hmm. with a video series from the newest updates to Glide with data editing tools, templates, relationships, if then else mm-hmm. can come into play with your Glide, and also lookup of data. So this is the newest and greatest from Glide with all their relational type database functionalities.
So I was going to ask that, and this kind of answers the question: how are they continuing to update the app, or is it
constantly
stagnant? But
yeah.
it sounds like they're invested.
Yeah, I think it came through in the interview that we're all kind of BFFs with David from Glide, because he emails us all the time with cool new stuff that we want to go out and check out. So
very good,
fun stuff.
That's going to do it for this week. Next time we meet, we're going to have our beloved semi-regular classroom technology correspondent, or one of them, Jason Schmidt. He is sure to bring some lively ed tech discussion, so you're going to want to tune in for that the next time. Thanks for joining us, everybody. Have a great week, and blessings on your ministries and using tech in it. Bye-bye.